So your kids went hands-on with an early version at my house.
They had a problem keeping their attention on the game. But I mean, completely honest, like, I think that's also the jolly tech crack house that you run over there. There's just like too many gadgets.
Welcome to the Techishly Gen podcast. We are smart tech for real life. Think of it as your girlfriend's guide to gadgets.
Here to help us, tech life columnist Jennifer Jolly.
Here to help me test them out, Jennifer Jolly.
Jen is the nationally syndicated tech life columnist for USA Today. You always blow our mind.
Jennifer Jolly, whose name is just fun to say.
Jennifer Jolly!
Welcome to Techishly Gen. So not another boring tech podcast. I'm right back here with producer Scott. Hey, Scott.
What's up? What's up?
And once again, we have a real scoop, the exclusive first hands-on of a new device that could totally change family game night.
Oh, tell me more.
Oh, you know I will. And you know me. I have tested every single gadget under the sun, and some of them, yeah, they're pretty life-changing. Some end up in the closet, in the junk drawer. I'm talking new karaoke machine. But today's guest, they're launching Board. This is a glowing 24-inch tabletop console with real physical pieces. These pieces, they cut, they stack, they shoot, they even score on screen. This ships with 12 original games, retails for just under $500, and claims it can actually fix everyone getting stuck on their own screens. It comes from Bryn Putnam. She's the woman who sold Mirror to Lululemon for $500 million. And Seth Sivak, who helped run World of Warcraft. So the question is, can the woman who made you sweat alone in your living room and the guy who built massive online worlds get your family laughing together again?
I'm super interested in hearing more. I kind of question, is it just a big iPad on your table or is there more to it?
Well, great question. Let's dive in and find out. Let's start right off the top with the obvious. Why do we need this? I mean, families already have iPads, Switches, Xboxes. Why buy another screen for the living room?
I think if your family looks like mine, a lot of what sort of screen time ends up looking like is solo time. You're either on your phone in front of a movie or a kid is curled up in a corner on their iPad and people are not connecting and building shared experiences and shared memories. So what we wanted to do is really rethink how technology could be used to bring people together in a way that builds laughter and collaboration and communication and all those great memories you get when you sit around the table together.
So let me ask you, what is Board? Is it a board game? Is it a video game? Is it a hybrid of both? What the heck is this?
It's a good question. I think as a hybrid of both, it definitely takes inspiration from both. I mean, what we're trying to do, as Bryn had mentioned, is build a totally new type of experience. I grew up with two brothers, so we would just play on game consoles, we would shared screen all the time. And that actual experience has kind of gone away from modern gaming. Modern gaming is now everyone has their own screen playing with their own headset on. It's not, we're all together playing the same thing. And that's really what Board is trying to do. Board is there to enable this type of social experience in a way that lets you make new types of things you couldn't do with a board game and new types of things that obviously you can't do with a screen on a wall.
One of the things that I've noticed, whether it's at my own family game nights, family gatherings, out at a restaurant, wherever you go, everyone is stuck behind their own individual screens. Sometimes starting at the age of 2 or 4, like if you're trying to have dinner together, you give the toddler a tablet or an iPhone or something to keep them quiet and to let you have some adult time. We're obviously having this screen fatigue. But you're solving the screen problem with another screen.
I think people understand that technology is beneficial and that technology is part of the world we live in and our children are going to use technology to make the world a better place. But it's really what we're asking technology to do that has to change. So there's a really big difference between co-viewing or co-playing than sort of sitting on our own screens and having our own experience. And I think when parents see the device, they kind of immediately understand that there's so much benefit to having a screen as the foundation because it provides interactivity and excitement and all the nitty gritty of rules enforcement and scorekeeping without taking away the joy of touching these tangible physical pieces and talking and laughing around a shared experience. So I think people, when they see it, really understand that it's not the screen that's the enemy. It's really how you use the screen and what you ask it to do for you.
How do you convince people this isn't just an iPad? And I actually had people say that to me, like, why wouldn't I just do this on my iPad? But there are physical pieces. It's bigger.
First, it's just the size. This is a 24-inch display, so it's large enough for everyone to gather around and share the same experience. The second you said is, you know, we've put it in this beautiful wood frame that's actually adaptable. You can take it off and put on different frames so that you're excited to leave it out on your coffee table or your dining room table and have it be part of your house and your daily life. And then the last piece, obviously, is the technology that allows us to recognize the physical pieces. So if you were to try to do this experience with a traditional tablet, if you put down 10 fingers, it wouldn't recognize the 11th or 12th finger. And it certainly wouldn't recognize that you were putting down the knife or the spaceship or the block. So that technology unlocks a really new and, we think, really magical way of playing where physical objects are directly manipulating the digital screen.
Yeah. And Brian, you dreamt up Mirror, one of my all-time favorite fitness gadgets. You developed Mirror, you sold it for $500 million. So it's not like you're new to this whole game. Seth, World of Warcraft, you sold your last company to Activision. So it's not like the two of you are shooting in the dark. You've had some massive successes. How are you feeling now that you've just unveiled the next big thing for the two of you?
It's really exciting to build something new, but obviously when you're building a totally new category, you're building something that doesn't exist before. There's obviously also that fear that it's a new thing you're creating and the reception, we'll see how it goes, but we're proud of what we built and excited.
I'm super proud of the games we built, the product coming together. I think Brynn is maybe a little humble on how hard this was, like how big of a challenge, like high degree of difficulty to create something, a totally new experience that I think people really need and want. That was what interested me in doing this from the beginning, is this was going to create something totally new experiences for people, but just deeply resonated with something that I wanted. I wanted the way to bring more people into gaming as someone who is asked all the time, what's a game that I can play? I'm used to playing with a 6-axis controller on a PlayStation 5. But a lot of people are not, and they see their kids are starting to grow up using that, and they're like, how can I relate? And so this is an important time, this important moment to have something like this. And I think what we built is really, really cool. And it brings together just so many important pieces of like a physical device, toys that you can actually play with that feel like magic, and then totally new types of digital experiences that enhance that overall gathering together to do something with the people you love.
I played a lot by myself over the summer with one or two other people, but it wasn't until the four of us sat down, two women, two men, and we got to sort of do like the battle of the women versus the men, and we got to kick their asses, that it really came to life for me. That's when it got really fun. And that's when I got really more invested in, okay, this just might work.
Real magic, as Brynn mentioned, is your controllers are spaceships, right? And so this can be played 1v1, 2v2. You can play it as part of that party game I mentioned, where you can have a number of people switching in different rounds. It makes it something that a wide range of people, all ages, can enjoy.
This launches with 12 games. They're all original games. Why did you go with original versus some of the old tried and true classics?
We knew we were going to create totally new types of experiences. So it wasn't like we could just take Monopoly and bring it to the board and have that be a great experience. Instead, it was, well, how can we think about the inspirations that would be reminiscent and nostalgic to people, or things that people remember from playing games or enjoy in playing modern games, and then do totally new things that would only be possible with the fact that you have an interactive screen, you have a computer to keep score, you have these interactive pieces that allow you to create these magical physical meets digital moments that really aren't possible anywhere else. So it made sense to start from something totally new.
My senior citizen parents live with us. I'm around a lot of people who are both young. I have a 4-year-old niece who's around all the time, and older, in 80s. Was that part of it? Kind of bridging all the ages, being a part of that sandwich generation and bringing back game night in a way that everyone could participate in?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, holidays at my house involve going to my grandparents and everyone sitting around and playing together.
Okay, 12 games. What's the cost out of the gate?
$4.99. So for $4.99, you get the board, all 12 original games included, and the full piece set. And then from there are online store launches where you can purchase additional games and expansion packs for the existing games.
Paint me a scene. I spend my $500 on board. I bring it home. I stick it on the table after dinner. What happens in the next 5 minutes that makes me say, oh, now I get it?
So what used to happen in my household is I would hear like screams of controversy from the other room as the children fought with each other over the remote or the iPad or some sort of conflict or strife. And what I hear now is you hear sort of the laughter and the cooperation of my son telling my little one to grab the sponge and clean up the kitchen in the kitchen game, and the older one screaming at my son about how he's missing one of the orders and needs to move faster. So you hear sort of this like lively, fun, cooperative, everyone interacting and fully present with each other. And that's the dream for board.
My twin brother has three boys. They're 9, 11, and 3. And I had them try this. And it was really funny to watch them just like scroll through the different games and just want to try everyone. And even with the 3-year-old, like having a way to participate or even just watching his brothers play. I've seen the exact same thing play out when the 9 and 11-year-old want to go play Fortnite and they go to their separate rooms. One of them's on a computer. One's using the Switch on their separate headphones, maybe not even playing together. And this, you're sitting in the same room, you're collaborating, you're talking. There's no barrier in the way. That, I think, is just a better opportunity for kids to spend time rather than the only thing they're focused on the screen. Instead, they're looking at each other in the eyes and then they're working together or playing against each other in a way that just feels much more present.
Why this? Why now?
This type of touchscreen technology has reached a point of maturity where we can build this kind of hardware at an affordable price point so it can really be in everyone's home. And I think the second piece is just people are hungry for something that really is a truly new and different experience. I think we've seen a lot of handheld gaming consoles over the recent few years. And I think people are really hungry and excited for something that is truly new and different. And that's what we're delivering here.
My take on this comes from my video game background. And when I look at the current state of what we consider family games, like at the biggest award show for games last year, the number one family game was a single player game. Nintendo was kind of the last bastion of still doing family games, but their big innovation was a new Mario Kart, which obviously is great for 4-player, but their big innovation was an online 24-player match, which just brings us back to single people with single devices with headphones on, only interacting through a screen. And yeah. I think that's why we need this.
And I don't want my kids on with a stranger, period. So you're handling that by bringing everybody back into the same room.
Yeah. I mean, this is the best form of multiplayer in my mind. And we know this. Like, there's this big Mahjong club, which is like younger people learning to play Mahjong in person because they just want to get away from their devices. They want to get away from being online. It's about building this more nutritious experience.
I love that. Seth, you went from building these epic, like 40-hour-a-week worlds, like World of Warcraft games that last, to games that basically gather you around a kitchen table. So how do you design something that makes both my teenager, the toddler, and grandmother actually want to play?
I've only ever worked on multiplayer games in my career. I've always thought that the most fun is playing games together. And what we really tried to do was make sure that everything in the portfolio feels relatively accessible. And so all of these are really built around core skills and abilities that any player could have, but also making it that there's enough engaging moments that everyone would want to be a part of it.
I have tested and seen things like this before. There's the Infinity game table. They haven't really worked. What makes this so special, new, and different? Why is this going to work?
I think because every piece has to work. The hardware has to work. The software has to work. The games have to work. The pieces have to work at a price point that makes sense for the customer. So I think all those examples maybe try to tackle different pieces of this experience, but we have really made the decision to create entirely new hardware, software, games, and pieces, which I think is necessary if you really do want to deliver an experience that is excellent.
But I think there's definitely a big difference between Skylanders and Disney Infinity and all the kind of toys to life type games. You could never really do anything with the toys. They were just collectible RFID chips. And that's cool. Some of them are really cool. I have friends who have like huge collections of them. And even Nintendo still does this, but they didn't really do much. You know, what we're doing with the physical pieces is they're the controller. They're your core way you're interacting. Much like when Nintendo introduced the Wii and the ability to swing the Wiimote like a tennis racket, it like changed the way people interacted with games. And that's a lot of what we're trying to do here. In some ways, we're trying to do something totally different. We're trying to make these pieces be something that makes gaming more approachable because they are so intuitive. They are something that anyone can use.
Bryn, you could have stopped after selling Mirror for $500 million. And Seth, you have the World of Warcraft job, like kind of every gamer dreams of. Why did each of you walk away from those things versus like just chilling out on a beach somewhere? Why did you walk away from that to build this new iteration and generation of a family game console?
I think for me, I'm always someone who doesn't necessarily start to build a business or build a company, but just starts to build because I hit a problem in my own life that I find frustrating. And I research and then I try to hack around solutions and I get to a point where a frustration where I think this should really exist. Like this would bring a lot of people joy, not just me. And then it turns into a business or a company. And so that was really the same thing here.
Bryn sold me pretty hard. I was like, wow, this person's, she's a total badass. The vision she had for this, it was, wow, this is a dent in the universe opportunity. This is something where if this works, it totally not only changes the landscape of consumer hardware and games, but like could meaningfully change a lot of people's lives, the way a lot of people spend time together.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So much of technology makes us disappear behind our own screens and in our own little worlds. And one of the things I like most about this and why I'm excited about it, because it does bring us back together. And my even bigger point here is that you don't have to be a gamer to want to play this game.
I think you're right. I also think that everyone's a gamer. You know, the number of people that I know who never say, like, I'm a gamer, but they've had, you know, a 780-day Wordle streak. That's a game.
When a family powers this down and walks out of the room, what's that one feeling that you hope they walk away with?
That was time well spent. Because I think so many of us have that feeling of you sit down and you scroll for an hour and you're like, where did that hour go? I don't feel more relaxed. I don't feel closer to my friends. That went into the void. It's gone. I'll never get that time back. And I think instead it would be, this was actual time well spent, which I think is rarer and rarer for us these days.
You both have created really successful products and sold those products. Is that the end game here?
At least for me, I don't think you ever create a company with the goal of selling the company. We certainly didn't at Mirror. You create a company with the goal of building an enduring business that impacts a lot of people's lives positively. And that's kind of why you get up every single day, is because you're excited about that mission. So you're doing it because, you know, yes, Seth said, you want to make a dent in the universe.
You once said, Mirror was about me, Word is about we. What's that personal story that made you want to flip that script?
When I founded Mirror, I was newly pregnant and sort of figuring out how to stay in shape now that my own fitness studio was no longer really a fit for me. Like I was struggling to get to my own classes and a group environment wasn't great. And so Mirror was literally about me. It was my reflection, my workout, my health, my body. And now fast forward, you know, years later, and it's really about my relationships and the people I love. Play is one way that I've always done that, but felt like technology could make how we play better.
I've been a fly on the wall for a lot of this development process over the last few months with you guys. What does it feel like when you're trying to perfect everything before a launch?
I'm a recovering perfectionist, so I guess my answer is being informed by that, which is like Seth said, games are never finished. You just eventually decide to ship them. And that's sort of the mindset I've had here is this is never going to be perfect, but eventually we ship.
Yeah, I too am a recovering perfectionist. What does success look like, feel like, smell like, taste like? What is that for you, Bryn?
I'm building something with my family at the center, which enables me to live a very different life. So instead of last time where I would go off and do workouts for hours to QA my product by myself, this time after dinner, we all sit around as a family and play games. And so work life and family life have this beautiful lead to them. But I think when you are building something, you have to just accept that the boundaries between personal and professional are fuzzy and make sure that you know when it's important not to drop the ball, when it's okay to drop the ball. But I think hopefully this go around, because of what we're building, I feel much better about the relationships in my life and how I'm spending my time.
What have you learned from your family? What have they changed and added to the experience of the board?
I think the first thing was my littlest one. The product is really for ages 6 and up. This was not really designed to be for the littlest one. She was sort of along for the ride, and she's found her place within this group play. She's figured out which roles she can understand and how she can help her brothers and sisters. And so we've brought her into our product conversations about how to think about bringing everyone into play in a way that feels rewarding, which was definitely not our intention to begin with, to have Agnes at the table, but she's there with her sponge.
And Seth, what's the most important thing that you've learned?
When I got first introduced to Bryn, we talked a little bit. I came down to New York to come to the office to actually just see the device. And there was some prototype that was kind of similar to what would eventually become the Asteroids game. And I was just playing with this thing on the board. And it was just this, like, felt really magical, felt really different. And then there was an early prototype for the game that is Save the Bloogs here, with where you have the little lemming guys. And I watched them just do this really cute animation where these digital characters interact with a physical piece of stairs and they start walking up it. And I was like, this is like something I've never seen before. And it was this moment of magic that I was like, there's so many cool things we can do with this. That was what really got me.
Bryn, where were you when you thought of board?
I had just started from the idea of how can technology bring people together. And I have like a little whiteboard on my wall at home and had two other ideas that were not this. And then the third idea, which just said game board. I just kept coming back to it and thinking to myself, like, this is really what I want. Like, this is what I struggle with my son. We play video games together. I can't operate the thing. It feels passive and not interactive. Just like I sort of did with Mir, we built like a hacky thing. We tried to use an iPad to play a game using physical tokens, and it was just a lot more fun to try to sit together looking at the same thing using a physical piece. And once you get that little feeling of what could be possible, then you start to build something that works.
How much funding have you gotten so far? How does all of that even work? Where does the next round come from?
We've raised $15 million so far to get us through launch. And then from there, we'll do another round of fundraising off of our launch metrics and hopefully success.
What does it feel like doing business with today versus when you started Mir?
It feels exactly the same as it did before. I wish I could say that having built one previous company made it easier, but I think it's challenging to raise capital. I think it's more challenging to raise capital as a single woman. I think it's triply challenging to raise one as a single woman building in hardware and games. So I wish I could say it was getting easier than it was before, but I don't think so.
Seth, are you surprised?
I'm like slathered in privilege in this. But yeah, I mean, a lot of what Bryn said is absolutely still true. It's unfortunate that it's still that way. And the reality is that we have to find funding somewhere to do this. And luckily, I think Bryn was able to raise from a lot of folks that aren't deeply seated in a lot of the Silicon Valley areas. I mean, there's a reason why, I mean, Bryn could probably speak to this more, but like the company's in New York, not San Francisco.
I'm married now to an investor. So I'm married to the dark side. And he always says when he's thinking about making an investment, he just has two criteria, which is, would I buy this product? Do I love it? You know, do I love this thing? And would I work for this person? That generally is a good baseline for partnership.
If you could put board in one house in America, who would it be?
Taylor Swift or Beyonce. The brand magic of Oprah falls in that category too. The brand magic of one of those women being willing to try something we built would be pretty incredible.
I think Taylor Swift, fast forward 5 years after like the marriage and hopefully, you know, starting a family, first few kids, like perfect timing for board.
You are launching this at TechCrunch. You launched Mir famously at TechCrunch. What's going through your mind right now?
I have no idea. I think last time, no idea what was going to happen. And this time, no idea what's going to happen, which is part of the fun. Remember as Mir, we launched and the website went live and we started to look at the orders coming in. They were coming in pretty fast. And one of our investors texted to say, I bought mine. Am I the first? And we looked and we were like, no, you're like the 30th, you know, and he was sitting there the second that the site went live to buy. But we were going so fast that, and that was when we sort of thought, okay, wow, that's cool. Like, these are strangers. These are people we don't know who are buying mirrors right now.
I'm always worried about $500 a lot for a lot of people. Why is this the number one must-have holiday gift this year?
We're priced on par with other game systems and certainly significantly less than a tablet. And I think this is an investment you're making in your family and your core memories.
Bryn Putnam, Seth Seebeck, thank you so much. I cannot wait to play with my board. Scott, before we went into this interview, I said, what do you think? And you were kind of like, is it just an iPad? Do you still, after hearing that, think it's just an iPad? Is this a gimmick? Is this another $500 gadget that'll just sit around collecting dust?
I think it's come a long way. When I saw it, there was only a couple of games on it. And the games that my kids were playing, they had a problem keeping their attention on the game. But I mean, completely honest, like, I think that's also the Jolly Tech crack house that you run over there. There's just like too many gadgets, and they were like on to the next thing within like 3 seconds. So I think that was part of it, but I'm excited to see what happens. You know, the holidays are right around the corner, so it's a completely unique item. And I think parents are always looking for something that is going to be fun, but also keep the attention span going. So it fits right down that alley.
Scott, final thoughts. Will this work?
I will speak from the parent in me. And one, it doesn't connect to the internet. Two, you get like the full game. The thing that drives me crazy about the iPad and those games is like you're constantly like asking to spend more money. I remember the days of Nintendo where my parents would like buy me the game and you got the full game. You don't need the internet. All you want to do is play it. So I think if we revert back to that, I think a lot of parents will dive into it.
Yeah. Also, they're not selling you anything in between. There's no ads. And then there's something really special about the physical pieces. You don't just put them on the board. They're not just collector's items. They actually operate the games that you're playing. They shoot, they cut, they stack, they solve. That's really interesting too. So it's very interactive. You can't just sit there and tap on it with your fingers.
Yeah, focused on kids. But the more I thought about it, I could actually see this in retirement communities or with elderly, like to keep their, not only their minds moving, but their hands and the physicalness of it.
Dexterity.
I think that's like another great idea.
Yeah, there's some serious brain games in here. And I thought about that because I live with my 80-year-old mom, 86-year-old dad, brought this out over the summer at a family reunion with a 90-year-old. And there's a Spycraft game. And that is like an escape room, but in your house, which is really cool. You're like solving this whole like spy mystery and everybody has to kind of think about it and weigh in on it. And that could be done with a crowd. But there's also this one game. It's like Tetris meets chess. It's so cool and so interesting. And my dad and I are really into Scrabble. We play a lot of Scrabble at this house. And that's the kind of thing that you have to think ahead.
Yeah.
There's a lot of strategy and you have to think in three dimensions. So it pulls a lot out of a screen that you didn't know was possible to do with a screen. And the screen adds a lot of depth and context to a board game. So I do think they're onto something. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. And I think it's only as good as the games are. You know, at the end of the day, you could have the best piece of hardware, but if the games just don't grab your attention, or that's the thing about video games right now. And that's the thing about Roblox, right? Like, I will never let my kids on Roblox because if you hear from any software engineer, it's like heroin to kids. They make it so it's addicting. So, I mean, I think board has a really good chance at keeping kids safe, but at the same time, allowing them to play, but then also have the ability to step away.
Yeah, I like the parental controls that you can set time limits. You can set age appropriate limits. But, you know, I've played every single one of the games and there's nothing that's really not appropriate. Maybe Spycraft, but it's not like they're going to accidentally, you know, hit on a really inappropriate YouTube video or online porn or end up in a conversation with a creepy stranger, which is what the what everything else out there kind of serves up. My final takeaway here, screens were never the enemy necessarily. It's isolation that's truly the enemy. So the bold bet here is asking a screen to do something different. And that's make a room full of people look up and laugh together. So category creation, it's super hard. We know that, right? Hardware, even harder. And for a woman leading in gaming, that's like a high wire axe stacked with miracles. But if the best products solve everyday problems, this one goes after the biggest, and that's time well spent with the people you love. If Board can pull this off, it is not a console. It's the comeback of real family game night. And that is a game that I can't wait to play. I'm Jennifer Jolly.
And this is Scott Baldwin.
And this is Techishly Jen. What'd you think about today's episode of Techishly Jen? Be sure to let me know. Follow our newsletter. Reach out on the socials. Can't wait to see you right back here on the next installment of Techishly Jen.